Join me in 1 Peter as I will begin reading at verse 10 of chapter 1 and going through the opening lines of chapter 2. Concerning salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through he believed in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you may have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, I pray our Lord will continue His goodness and bless us here with His reading and hearing of His word. Let me direct your attention to an action, to an imperative. Verses 13 and 14 once again says, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. An action, a do. Something that is told to the church that we should go out and do. An imperative. But we must take care and caution here because our faith, Christianity, is not based on works. It is not works generated. It's based on the transformation of a person. The work done by the Holy Spirit at the will and work of God the Father through the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Our faith is one that shows forth a work created by a change from within. Our faith is not one of conformity, it's one of transformation. Here is an action that says, go and do. And many of us could go and do these things, and they would be well and good, but we have to be careful of the reason and the intent behind the do. Because you see, in Christianity, we are something before we do something. Verse 15 and 16, it says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Note the word, be holy. not do wholly. Our faith is first a being. It's an existence. It's a personal relationship that must be apparent, that must be at heart before any of the do. The doing comes from the being. Matthew 22, the great commandment, says to love the Lord with all of your actions. Love the Lord with all of your efforts. Love the Lord with all that you do. Well, I see some of you shaking your head because that's not what it says at all. The great commandment says to love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. That's being. That's personal. In the first, it is being. This is what worship is. This is a worship from within, and it comes from the transformation of the person. As I prayed in the prayer earlier, when you read these words, be holy, which one of us can stand and say yes? No action will ever make you holy. No numbers of persons wrapped in a shawl will make us holy. No numbers of persons fed in a food line will make us holy. No numbers of homes built in Biloxi or in Kentucky will make us holy. Those are great works of service. And I'm proud to say that it is not the work that we are after. It is the showing of a heart. All of these things are done by the showing, or with the showing of a heart that has been transformed. I hope you have taken an opportunity to look through the newsletter this month. It is a wonderful, wonderful document, but the lead article asks the question, are you masquerading? And it tells the story of the false teachers who adopted a disguise so that they might be seen as true church people, so that they would be accepted into the circles of the church. They took on an outer appearance so that they would look like the church. And that's easy to do. It's fairly easy to get up on Sunday morning. I know it's a challenge for some, but it's not overwhelming. And put on a nice suit, pretty dress, show up a few minutes before 11, walk through the hands as you shake hands coming in, take your seat on a pew, stand and sit like we Presbyterians do, and at 12:10-ish or so, get up and leave. And you've done all the things to look like a Christian. But I have to ask you questions. The article asks the question, are you trying to pin wings on a caterpillar so that it might be perceived as a butterfly? Or are you the one that is being transformed internally through the being and therefore emerging as a butterfly? It's easy to masquerade. The challenge is in the being. Peter is saying here, yes, go and do, but he quickly, in the next verse, follows it up with a being statement. But where does this transformation come from? Where does it come from? Join me in verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold. Note his illustration of external jewels. His illustration of external things, money, material, things that we can hold in our hands. It was not with that. It was not with the external that you were purchased. It says that you were not with perishable things such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times. Though you believe in Him, in God who raised Him from the dead, it is through the blood of Jesus Christ that one is transformed. I'm sorry to say that so many in the religious world today are bent on the external, the silver and the gold, the material. Are we doing the right things? Are we at the right places? Are we saying the right things? Not in any concern of what God might feel is right and wrong, but simply by those things which the population might accept. So many preachers stand in the pulpit and are afraid to say the things because they believe a tither will walk out that door. That's conforming. That's not transforming. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are transformed and we become the being. And that is the only way. Is that intolerant? No, not at all. The gospel is open to everyone. Is it intolerant? To some degree, because yes, there is only one way. But how did we know about this stuff? How did we come to know of this work of Jesus Christ? Well, Peter points us in two directions in the same passage. We came to know of this faith and hope through preaching. Through preaching. Romans 10:14 says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching?" We all must understand that what you are doing right now, what you are experiencing right now, is a mystical, supernatural event that reaches far, far, far beyond the words that are spoken. It is the work of the Holy Spirit here in a dynamic among us. And simply out of your love for God through the blood of Jesus Christ, you are participating in this. And so I know very well that God will be good to you in this time of preaching. It is preaching. But today, and I'm sure it was during Peter's time, but today we have better knowledge of our own events. What do we preach? What is the subject? What is the material? What do we preach? Do we preach our own thoughts? Thank you for shaking your head. No. Do we preach our own ideas? No. Do we preach our own agendas? No. Do we preach our own desires? No. And no, I don't preach my own opinion. Verse 10 and 12 begins to open the door to what must be preached. Peter says concerning this salvation, "The prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow." Can you imagine a prophet hearing the very word of God and then trying to make sense of it in a way to put it down into words so that he could just grasp it in some way? Moses paints the best picture. The bush started burning and speaking to him, and he was scared to death. Isaiah fell on his face and knew he was destroyed just by simply hearing the word of God. The prophets were not there for themselves. As we read on, "It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that now have been told you by those who have preached." The prophets were working for you. The prophets were called into place for you, not for themselves. They were called into place and given the Word of God so that they might write it down through the inspiration of Holy Scripture, so that we at one time could pull the canon together and have a subject matter for our preaching. They searched intensely. They heard of this Messiah. They were told of the Messiah. They were told of the one coming. They were told of His sufferings. And so they searched intently, but they never found. And so they passed away without ever receiving fully that of which they searched for intently. Do you know that every one of you in this room knows more about God than Isaiah? Do you know that you know more about God than Daniel? Name a prophet. Moses? All but saw God face to face. But yet you have more information in your hands than Moses could have ever imagined. Because they were dealing in shadows. They were dealing in foretelling. They were dealing in images that painted a picture of that which was yet to come. But they were so inspired that they searched after it intently. And it wasn't for themselves, it was for you. This is the subject of our preaching. And it is the enduring Word of God. Verse 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. What do we preach? The enduring Word of God. That's all. That's all. The desires, the traditions, the thoughts, the ideas of man will fade like the flowers in the garden. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Everything that you have laid your hand to in a physical building, in a physical doing, will one day go away. We see it now. The fall season is coming upon us. What are the leaves of the trees doing? There's a few flowers blooming yet, but many more nights like we had recently, and they'll wither away. Winter is coming quickly. Everything we do will be such as that. Everything. So we don't preach those things. We don't preach man's desires. We preach this. We preach this. It's very simple. We preach this. The Word of God stands forever, and this is what we preach. And hear this very clearly. Many of you visit other churches during vacation. I encourage it. Many of you go to other churches with family members. I encourage it. But be very careful. If any other thing is offered from the pulpit other than the very Word of God, then it is not preaching. And you have a responsibility to sit before preaching, even bad preaching, of which we get our taste of here, I'm sure. But preaching is the bringing forth of the Word of God, opening it up and exposing it for what it is, making no excuses, making no disclaimers, not reshaping it, not reforming it so it sounds good to the ear. None of it. You either believe that the Word of God is inerrant, that it is infallible, or you believe none of it at all. You can't take portions and parts. So many of our denominations that surround us take portions and parts. The enduring Word of God. It is the power by which God brings all things to pass according to the counsel of His will. The enduring Word of God. It is God's personal presence. And you cannot separate a speaker from their words. Oh, I wish we could sometimes. But you cannot separate a person's words from who they are. What you hold in your hand is that God, is God's presence with you through that word. The enduring word of God is His word and His expression of His control and of His authority. And here's where we just took the fork in the road. Because many of us don't want the authority. We don't want the control of some mere word written on a page by men thousands of years ago. No, this is God's word. It is His control over His church. It is His authority over His people. Here's where we get so many who do not want to acknowledge that this is God's word. Because at the same time we acknowledge this is God's word, it says that we have to obey. If we can fudge on that any at all and say, well, it might contain God's word. Yeah, that's it. That's for sure. It contains God's word, and it's up to us to decide which of them are and which of them aren't. Which of you are in here is wise enough to know God's word from another? Anybody? The control and the authority of God rests in these words. This is what we preach. The prophets searched intently for it. Paul and the disciples, the apostles, were shown such a great gift by seeing the word before them. And they wrote of that word. His name is Jesus. Everything in here points to Him. What actions are we to perform? Those actions which have been given us through the Word of God. And that righteous action that Peter calls for here can only come from a converted sinner who has the presence of the Holy Spirit in their souls. Any other action for any other reason is a lie. And we can only do it as we have the Holy Spirit in us and God's enduring word in our hands. As Joseph likes to refer to many times, have you got your sword? This is what we preach. This is what we live by. This is what we discern by. This is what we separate by. This is what this church will be governed by. Amen.